Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Swing and a miss. Carpenter down on strikes. The out is made at first, and that'll do it as the Tigers go down in order.
Well, Hunter Brown was good, so you have that going into next year, but you have a lot of questions. Interesting tidbit of information, Brent Strom, who we just talked about in the last segment, out with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh!
He will not return next year in his current role.
Do you think it's because he brought up Ryan Pressly in the end-of-season rap meeting performance review? He was like, well, what if we trade for Ryan Pressly? He's like, out of my office.
Could have been that.
He looked like a fire, like, as I think I said his name. It got posted 6 minutes ago.
It probably
like, was. Like, it's like, we might need to, like, time check this. 156. I think I said it after.
I'll see.
No, don't do that. That's too much work. The former Astros assistant general manager, Pete Petilla, got fired by Buster Posey in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
Buster Posey took over as the president of baseball operations.
Wait, really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
They fired their president of baseball ops, and he took over, and then he fired the GM was his next move. So
people getting canned today.
Pretty much everyone that's like left the Astros, the guy who is responsible, who this is someone that one of the biggest moves they can make this offseason, this is going to sound really hypocritical, Paul. I know it is, okay? I don't know his name. But he's the guy who's responsible for signing Javier and Urquidy and a lot of these guys to the Dominican Republic and Cuba and stuff.
Ocampo?
Yes. He was hired by the Miami Marlins.
What a pull.
They fired him. By me. Bring him back. I mean, he's responsible for all these Cuban and Dominican guys on the team. So he's a free agent. Just bring it back.
He's our plunderer.
Yeah.
He's our Hernando Cortez.
I mean, what did he get Blanco for? $5,000?
All these guys, they would always show it during, like, especially national games when it's like Fromber and Javier and all these guys, and it's like a combined like $30,000 to get all these guys. It's ridiculous.
Years from now, will we be looking at the Astros international scouts and their financial team in the same way that we look at Christopher Columbus and the people who got New York? For literally beads, those Dutch bastards.
We're not going to be able to take the day off for Ocampo Day in 25 years.
No, I remember that was something you celebrated up in Massachusetts, and I remember moving to Florida thinking that we had that day off, and I remember I took the first one off, and I went out of town to visit my dad, and I remember they said, yeah, you didn't have this off, and I was like, what? We have Columbus Day off for years.
I think we had it off in Illinois. And then when they stopped, they turned it into a teacher institute day.
Right, something like that.
So it's like, but like when I think it was either stopped right after I left high school or while I was in high school. But we had it off too. It's hard to keep track.
And the Astros have it off now because their season is over. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to miss the postseason. I'm not going to watch a second.
I am not, honestly. I mean, I will miss the Astros. I will not.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
I'm not going to watch. I didn't watch the World Series last year or anything after the Astros got
Yeah, once out. The Astros went down, I thought to myself, nope, I have no interest in watching this.
Yeah, like I got nothing. I don't care about Yuli playing for the Royals. I don't care about the Padres.
I used to like watching baseball outside of the teams that I covered or were rooting for on a daily basis.
Me too. And then I had a kid. And it's just like, I have to prioritize. Some things have to get cut out.
Yeah.
And if I'm not required to watch it and it's not football, I'm probably not going to watch it.
So Ryan Pressly is getting cut out.
Hopefully.
You would think. I feel like they got to find a way to move on from him. I don't know how they do it, though. It seems like they're in just a really difficult spot if there's no if there's a no-trade clause, and on top of that, if there's no real buyout.
They're going to have to get creative with a lot of things they're going to do this offseason. You know, it might take adding a low-level prospect of your own to add on to Presley to get something in return. So a two-for-one deal. It might take eating a portion of that contract. My guess is that to move him, you're going to have to eat a portion of his contract. But you're also going to have to find who's on his list that he would approve a trade to, since he has a no-trade clause, and then find that team that wants him back. I mean, so I would be surprised if he's here next year. And if he is, then he's going to have to be the most expensive sixth inning man or washed, you know, you're up by six runs and he gets to come in kind of guy in baseball. You can't go into next season with the expectation that he's going to be a seventh or eighth inning guy, like, unless something changes dramatically this offseason. But I wouldn't bring him back.
No, at least put him in that role. And I mean, how's he going to handle getting demoted further? Because he should be demoted further.
Abreu should have been the eighth inning guy.
Yeah. And I mean, I would say right now, if you were to toss a coin, that's how I determined between Neris and Presley who gets next. And Neris coming back didn't really bring a lot of warm and fuzzies like he had given us the year before. But that's where Presley should be, and there's just way too much money that you're giving to him. And this is the big problem for the Astros right now, is that they have a lot of bad contracts that are either tied up in guys who are over the hill or they're injured. I don't know what's worse, to be honest. You still got to pay Lance McCullers $34 million. Does anyone think we're going to see him again? It doesn't feel great right now. And I mean, I saw him in the clubhouse after last night's game. I hope he comes back. But it's one thing to hope. It's another thing to actually expect.
Yeah, I mean, and I would not bring him back as a starter. Like, we're in that. They should be in that mode where it's, what is his role on this team? Maybe you go from a $14 million seventh inning man in Ryan Presley to a $17 million seventh inning man in Lance McCullers. I mean, we've seen it. It doesn't work perfectly, but we've seen guys have success in baseball with a long injury history and then moving them out of the rotation into the bullpen. And if I was Lance at this point, I would think that he'd be open to it a little bit, that, like, just to get back on the field. I'm sure he wants to be a starter, but he said himself when he did the interview with the podcast with Will Kunkel this last year that he would be open to coming back in a bullpen role. And Dana Brown talked about Lance McCullers in a bullpen role before they had to rule him out for the end of the season. So maybe Lance is part of your solution for Ryan Presley. I mean, you can't close the door on it, at least. But who knows? He may never pitch again for this team. I mean, he's only pitching for two more years. So it's like, how do you can't move him. You can't eat that contract. You'd have to cut him.
And that's another contract that you would be eating with the player still under contract. You do that twice in one year. You're willing to do it a third time or a fourth time?
Because
what does it get you other than just that person out of the clubhouse?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if you're going to have to eat it in whole, might as well just keep the rights to him. And if he pitches, okay, cool. If he doesn't, he's not going to pitch for you anyway. So I don't really get the, like, upside of cutting McCullers, because to me it's just see if he can feel right for half a season. And like in 2022, it's like, well, just see if you can come in August and you can add a McCullers to your team, because he's still good. Or last we saw him, still good. He's still a good pitcher. I mean, the Astros would have killed for McCullers for a lot of this year to add him to the rotation. But you just can't bank on him. It's just, you have to view him as nothing but, well, if he's there, it's a bonus. That's it.
That's the voice of Sean Mapes behind the glass. Joe George to my right. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm Paul Gallant. He is Joe George. Up next, who's the biggest fall guy for the Astros as their season came to an end yesterday? You want to weigh in on the future of a variety of different Astros, ranging from Alex Bregman to Framber Valdez to Kyle Tucker? You can. Just make sure that you bring up your baseball stats before you do so. It is Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Also on ESPN Houston on YouTube and at ESPN 975 on Twitch. Stay put.
ESPN 975.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Bregman is a special human and a special baseball player. I hope to get to see him back here next year. That's all I got to say.
Hunter Brown. Does he get any say in the future of the Astros? Has he earned his pinstripes? I know the Astros don't wear those anymore. I don't know. I know that yesterday I found faith in Hunter Brown going forward in big time spots. He delivered. He was great yesterday. Not his fault they lost. Did give up the home run, but he was dominant largely before. And that is a very strong way to endorse Alex Bregman like he did right there. That's all I have to say about that. You may as well add 4 exclamation points.
I mean, they all want Alex back.
Everyone wants him back. I mean, this is one of the reasons, Joe, I'm a little bit concerned about this run continuing afterwards. This feels like it will be the gut punch too far. You can move on from Springer. You can move on from Correa. You can move on from Cole. This one feels like it will hurt the most. You're not replacing that voice. You could theoretically replace his production, but you're probably not doing it with one guy.
I'll play a bad cop here for a second.
Bad cop.
What if it's a good thing for Alex Bregman to walk? My counter to that would be, look at the start of the season and how slow he's starting, and it's taking him longer and longer and longer to figure out. It took him like a month and a half to really turn the corner this year. We talk about these bad contracts: Abreu, Montero, now Presley, Lance McCullers. Are we 100% confident that if you sign him to a 5-year deal, that for 3 of those years, he's not going to be one of the worst guys in this lineup, and he's going to make things so much worse?
It's a good question, and no, you don't.
I mean,
you don't know that.
I would lean the other way, that like he's going to adjust with how intelligent he is, but the slow starts, like if they sign Alex Bregman, and he's terrible for the first month, every single topic is going to be, was it a mistake to sign Alex Bregman?
I think I saw from Jer-Bear Branham from the Killer Bees that he wouldn't give Bregman more than 4 years and not a penny over a certain amount. And I mean, I understand that line of thinking because you're right. You are just given the amount of times you've shot yourself in the foot with these contracts that have aged so poorly. Can you really afford to do it again? No, you literally cannot.
That's why I'm fascinated what this offseason is going to look like. Because if I was Jim Crane, I would be nervous to sign some of these contracts. Because every single one has blown up in my face. Besides Altuve.
Oh my God. Are we
Yordan?
Yordan makes a fraction of what he should make.
Yeah. So the Yordan deal is good. But the funny thing is, remember when we thought the Christian Javier deal was good?
Yeah, remember when we were like, Yordan, there's a little bit because of the timing of like, oh, okay. Even Yordan with the knees and he's been worth it. And even with all the injury stuff that you had to deal with. But even he was like a little bit initially of like, okay. This is a little uneasy. Yeah, Javier too, since then he stunk it up and then got hurt.
And I would say for Javier, it's still – okay, he's scheduled to make $10 million next year while he won't pitch. The problem is that in 2026 and 2027, he He's scheduled to make $21.4 million.
That's the bad part.
That's a huge jump.
Coming off an injury, you need him to be so good.
Mm-hmm.
You need him to be like a game one, game two starter.
This is the big problem for the Astros right now. There's a lot of faith being put in guys returning. At the very least, they didn't mention Lance McCullers, at least to my knowledge, at today's press conference, season in review, Joe Espada and Dana Brown. Because that would have been a bridge too far for all of us today.
Yeah. It's like signing a free agent, really, if you think about it. I that's why I am so – I think I'm probably most hardline on you have to bring back Kikuchi or replace Kikuchi in free agency or trade because of the starting pitching woes. And there's not even woes. They've been good starting pitching the last 2 years. It's just that you need – so much of it in the middle of the season. You need to throw it together so much that I would just like this team to just, if anything, under-depend on the guys that are coming off these catastrophic injuries, especially with McCullers and Garcia, who last offseason, we're talking about them coming back in July.
Well, that's because and now they lie to us. They're lying. They're straight up like, I don't, Iskelski, not Santa, tweeted at us earlier. They're liars. Straight up.
Plants for hire, liar, liar.
They do not, pitchers do not come back from Tommy John in 13 months. They do not do that. And if they do,
you don't feel great about it.
Yeah, if they do, it's like, oh my God, what is he doing? Like,
this is probably pushing it.
Yeah. I think they both had Tommy John within a week of each other, Javier and Urquidy, in June.
Yeah.
They're not pitching in July. We're going to do the same song and dance we did this year, where people are going to talk about them coming back, and then Dana Brown's going to say, well, it looks more like a little bit of early August.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like it might be September.
We're going to pause then, on the throwing for a couple weeks.
And then the day that you get eliminated from the postseason, it's like, oh, Luis Garcia is throwing live batting practice at Minute Maid Park right now. Cool story, bro. Like, it's they're lying to you. They're not going to pitch in July. No chance.
And even
I hope I'm wrong. But no chance.
Even when they are, I mean, not Javier, but the McCullers asterisks and Luis Garcia group of guys coming off Tommy John or catastrophic arm injuries, are they going to be the same guys? That's something that we kind of – it's not just in baseball. It's also in football and basketball too, where guys tear their ACLs, and at this point we're just like, all right, cool. See you in 8 months, and you'll be the exact same guy. Where that's not what happens with everyone. Is that sometimes these injuries they do take something away from these guys, and so we don't know the next time that we'll see Christian Javier. We also don't know if he'll be the Christian Javier from the 2022 playoffs. We don't know that. We can't know that. That's why sitting up there and saying we have plenty of pitching, I cannot agree with that.
That's why it's annoying when he says these things, because I would like to get behind him. I'm taking a look at some comments on YouTube. OTR Sean says, let Dana Brown do his job. Jalen Baker comments, every move Brown has made has been a good one. UT Hook'em Horn 73 says, get Bagwell, Jackson, and Biggio out of the front office. And all of those things I want to agree with. It is annoying, though, where today they're talking about how they've got all of these arms. In theory, yes. If you turn injuries off, we're not playing a video game. You can't do that.
I always love doing that.
Yeah, I was going to also say you're cheap as hell if you do that.
Especially when like you got guys like Christian Javier who are hurt and you start a franchise mode.
Turn it off.
Pre-existing injuries off, too. That's always the good.
That one's okay. Turning off injuries is such a jabroni move.
That is a jabroni move, and I don't like that either.
No, I think the pre-existing is fine. Because then I can like never use Lance McCullers, and then we'll be the show.
I was going to say, I'm more okay with that, but I also don't love it.
There's no honor.
I don't like when people, GMs, have to say things like...
People GMs. Are these armchair GMs?
People and GMs.
People forget GMs are people, too.
When Dana Brown was asked about the payroll... That it ended with, we may have to get a little creative. That's where...
Oh, you think?
I trust Dana Brown, like the YouTuber said. I trust Sean. Dana Brown...
I do not trust him.
Dana
you,
Brown...
You trust easily.
Is good at his job.
You trust a liar.
He's a liar.
You said he was a liar earlier, right? But you trust him.
But I think it's because he's being told by his medical staff that he should be fired to lie. But I don't know what he can really do. Can he spend any money? Is he allowed to? Will Jim Crane give the okay? So that's why when he says things like we may have to be a little creative, that to me is a red flag. And it says Jim Crane is telling me the budget is what the budget is and it can match this year, but it can't go over.
Yeah. Normally I think that's just like we'll have to get creative is a little bit of just, hey, I'm throwing it out there so you don't bother me with asking me about like, are you going to sign Juan Soto or something? Like, yeah, no, we're not going to go. We're not shopping the premium top shelf stuff.
I had someone suggest, let Bregman go, sign Soto. And then on top of that, he went even further.
What? Like trade for Scooble?
He said trade for Gunnar Henderson as well.
Gunnar?
Okay.
Gunnar.
All right, guys.
I do like the Icelandic version of that.
It's pronounced Gunnar because it's G-U-N-N-A-R, not to be confused with Gooning.
Also, zero hits this postseason.
He gets a little bit. It's only his second postseason.
Okay. New Astros. Hey, new Astros, win a postseason game. That's part me lashing out. A little bit of truth, though, for the Orioles. It's like, ooh, cool. All these prospects, all these wins, win something. I can still pull that card as an Astros fan.
That's all we can do.
I can still pull that. They have not won any game. We're tied in postseason wins.
That's true.
This year. But yeah, I think that's kind of that thinking is kind of a cousin of Joe's dishonorable turning off injuries in Madden. That's also a big turn off salary cap move too. Of sign for this guy, trade override for this guy, and boom, the team's fixed. Like that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys they can bring in that can fix a lot of the problems this offseason
if they had the money.
And then there's guys where within the margins they can.
No, there isn't. Who are they bringing in? Who are they bringing in?
I mean,
who can they afford to bring in to realistically address things in the now?
Got
to
bring back Gamble. Got to bring back.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though.
Yeah.
We're talking about names that are placeholders. We're not talking about that you'll be able to afford. You're not going to be able to afford the guy that actually upgrades the spots that you need to, like first base. Or
you might be able to afford a first baseman better than what they got.
You'd think.
Like, I'm not saying to be good. I'm not saying that now you have a good first baseman. I'm saying that you can upgrade on first base. You can go from one of the worst positions. One of the worst positions that any playoff team probably ran out there was probably Astros first baseman.
Yeah,
You can get better. You can get to average first baseman pretty easily. It's just if you also lose Bregman, you're not going to get the Alex Bregman of first baseman.
Yeah, I think they can get a guy like Anthony Santander, someone that I know Chandler Roma's brought up in the past that I look at as well.
I kind of assume he's going to be on the Astros since he was brought up by name like 2 months ago.
I mean, he hit 44 home runs last year. He's right fielder, so he can play left this year, and then he can replace Kyle Tucker the next year. Like
switch hitter.
We're already doing that.
Yeah, I mean, Tucker's gone.
Yeah, I mean,
Tucker's gone after next year.
I know, yes. You got one more year of Tucker.
After one regular season and nothing else, really.
And no production in the playoffs.
You know, 30 home runs in the regular season.
Really, the bar is so low for him in the playoffs. Can you do better than 150?
Just give me an RBI. How about that?
How about
an RBI?
Hit? How about a hit?
How about a hustle to first base?
Respect 90?
I know it's Thursday. How far is too far? How far is too far for asking for Kyle Tucker next year?
90 feet.
Run 90 feet.
I'll excuse that.
I won't.
I can't excuse the lack of hitting.
Not in the playoffs.
I won't.
I wonder about the actual status of his leg. I mean, seeing Yordan hobble as well.
He said he was healthy, though. That was weird.
Who?
Yordan said he's 100% healthy before the game.
No, he's
not. And I was like, no, you're not, dude.
He said he wasn't sure he would be able to go in the postseason. It's over. You want to weigh in? 713-780-3776 to talk about what you saw from the Astros yesterday, and on top of that, what they need to do next. I did see somebody texted, hey guys, you know, we have a good football team in town. Don't worry, we'll turn our attention to them fully on Friday. And we'll table a lot of these conversations for a while. Because I would say that the biggest feeling that I have right now, I wish it was disappointment. I do feel a bit of disgust. The more that this show has gone on, the worse I feel about this. This has not been therapeutic in any way, shape, or form. I feel worse about the season being over the more I talk about it.
Hopefully the Texans win on Sunday. Or Monday is going to be real fun. No Astros playoffs. Lose by 20 to Josh Allen.
It's Rockets basketball season.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rockets preseason.
I mean, look, we're here. Okay?
I did my live stream last night, and it was funny. I think midway through, there was just a chat broke out on my YouTube channel, and it was everyone talking about the future of the Rockets. And I was even like, you know what? I'd rather talk about them than this right now.
I mean, the Reed Shepard effect has already taken over one half of that desk. I see the mustache.
Mustache
is coming back.
The mustache is back, yep. The wife likes it. Reed Shepard, I hope I can do things as well as he shoots threes.
Okay.
Because I was watching this video yesterday, and I was like, this guy can just let it rip. I mean, it's practice.
I was going to say, he made like a 75, not 75. He probably made like, what, 10 in the video?
Like
10 straight swishes with no one guarding him in a practice gym.
Can he play first base? He probably looked pretty big on the baseball.
Yeah, he's 6'3".
Right? Yeah, 6'2", 6'3". Wingspan, first base. Uh-huh.
He had to have played baseball growing up.
Just like, why? Because he's white?
No, in Kentucky. You know, his dad was an athlete, so he knows that you want to do cross-discipline, not just basketball all year round.
Oh, God. Coming up next, why the Dynamo are the team you should be talking about today.
I'm going home. See ya.
Kalani George, we'll weigh in on the Astros some more. Stick around.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I tore out this coffee on the desk. Alas, there's no coffee left.
Especially because it would go right on your laptop.
It would. There's no joy in Houston. The Astros are dead, at least for this year. And I can't help but feel that this is perhaps the end of the run, especially if this is the last that we see Alex Bregman wearing an Astros uniform. And as cocky as I was, as chesty as I was, there were signs this year that the season would end in the way that it ended, where you have an offense that didn't show up for two games, where they're only able to score runs on this little dribbler that barely makes it through the infield in game one. And in game two, they're scoring on a fielder's choice that should have been caught at home plate for a force out, and on a tag up on a foul ball that was not deep at all. And then you have a bullpen that sure had good numbers and sure had good pedigree that in big spots had occasional meltdowns despite the money that you were giving them. And both Ryan Presley and Josh Hader had moments yesterday that we have seen happen before to them. Honestly, we saw those moments happen at the very beginning of the year. So I think it is rather fitting that that's how it ended for the Astros. The issues that we saw multiple times during the season were ultimately what did them in.
And one of the positives out of that is, at least they know what their flaws are. Like there's no questions here about the Houston Astros of what your flaws are. You need to, if you're going to keep Presley, you need to hire he needs a sports psychologist so he can pitch in the eighth inning.
He needs a sports psychologist. How many sports psychologists are there going to be?
I mean, maybe they just need one. Just, you know, he can, you know, do three sessions a day. Meet with Fromber, meet with Presley, and then meet with Hader. Just say, hey, Josh, it's the same thing whether you pitch in the eighth inning or in the ninth inning, and whether it's a save situation or it's not a save situation.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. But the Astros training staff and medical staff, I'm sure that mental health coaches are just going to be as effective as those two. The answers are not there for the questions that we have. I don't know how they fix them. The offense has enough talent, but it goes through these phases where it's not able to get things done. And they were a more middle of the pack team. You heard both after the game yesterday and today, the Astros talking about how we got away from who we're trying to be at the plate. They were not always productive at bats, sometimes forced at bats, lots of swinging at everything, not working counts. And, okay, maybe you can address that, but is that going to mean more runs? I don't know. I mean, the offense has been MIA for large portions of the last three playoffs, including the year you won the World Series.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's not just a – it's just – I like argue earlier we had people coming into the Twitch chat and stuff talking about the hits. Well, they led the league in hits. It's cool. They were third in average. It's awesome. But the issues that plague this team, and we saw it in yesterday's game and in game one that we've seen since the first game of the season, that even when things got turned around, it didn't really fix itself, was the runners left on base.
Yeah.
Runners in scoring position, this team was poor throughout the year, and there's a lack of, I don't know if it's clutch, if it goes back to what, you know, we had conversations with Jeremy Booth about, and I know that, you know, that it looks like Jason Bristol might have asked Joe Espada about that today, even about the batting order, and if that contributes to the lack of success with runners in scoring position. But at the end of the day, your offense just wasn't good enough, and they can fix that.
You think?
You can find guys in free agency that are affordable, that are better than Jake Myers, that are better than Chaz McCormick, that are better than John Singleton. They might not be better than Alex Bregman, so you might get worse there. But I do not think it is completely – I mean, it is totally fair to say the Astros have to and should easily be able to upgrade in left field, center field, and first base.
They have to. I don't know if it's easy. I agree with conceptually it should be, because if we're just talking about the amount of money that you have to give, yeah, you could give that kind of money to somebody that's around the same skill set, you would think, talent level, if not more so. But I don't know. I think it's easier said than done, and just given the way that the Astros have swung and missed with a lot of the deals that they've given out for guys that we thought were good, how do we feel about middle of the road players, you know?
Well, that seems to be Dana Brown's specialty.
I mean, you paid a lot for Victor Caratini this year.
Yeah, he's one of the highest paid catchers in baseball.
That's surprising.
Yeah. He's like the sixth highest paid catcher in baseball.
Sixth highest?
That's how little the catcher position
is. I was going to say, part of that is like catchers are like running backs, basically.
Yeah. But like, that was a great signing. I mean, you know, he had three walk-offs for you this year, right? Or at least two walk-offs. He was a good contributor for this team.
But I mean, as far as depth goes, what was he making this year? Was
$9-10 million
or so?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's what you're looking for depth. That's probably what it's going to cost. I mean, you're talking about at catcher, if this is the lowest paid position, if you're going to bring somebody in short term, that's sort of the best you can hope for. If you're really upgrading at some of these positions, you're going to have to give out long-term deals that will probably age poorly, that are going to set you further into the luxury tax threshold that you're already in hell with right now. I mean, it's not good because of these contracts that you have on the books of guys who can't even effing play.
I mean, look at like OPS. Jake Myers, 15th in OPS in baseball. And I mean, 14th as a center fielder.
I was going to say 15th center fielder. 14th. Not 15th overall.
I mean, they're just I don't think you need big-time contracts to replace these guys. I mean, like, I'm fine if Jake's your opening as a center fielder next year. You can't have Jake and Chaz.
I was going to say, you have to stick with one and move on from the other.
Can't do musical chairs with those two?
No. It's actually 2025. This year is going to be a Chaz year. Can we get Miles Straw back?
You can have both of them on the team. One of them's your fourth outfielder. One of them's your starting center fielder. But one of them is not your starting left fielder. You have to upgrade. I mean, and it's it's one of the spots where I think you very easily can't. Like in those guys, like there's room to grow.
Jason Hayward, your starting left fielder.
Gross.
I'm cringing at that.
He's better.
He was better for a little bit. I'm not sure about for a full 162.
Ben Gamel.
This goes back to, if you upgrade at those positions, you're going to have to pay. I just don't think you're going to be bringing in somebody that's a bargain, that's better than a Chaz McCormick or Jake Myers or Jason Hayward.
The bar is just so low there that
I agree.
I do think that you can 1 year $6 million your way to someone.
With who? You know.
I mean, that's how they get. They signed guys that just got cut, and at parts of the season, those were their best outfielders, and those were guys that got cut after the trade deadline. Now you have an entire free agent class of go. Digging for those diamonds in that rough.
An entire free agency class that has Alex Bregman as the top free agent.
Juan Soto.
My bad. Forgot that he's only a one-year deal with the Yankees. Alex Bregman is the number two guy on that list.
I think they could find someone.
Yeah, but they don't need to get another Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
Re-sign the one that you have.
It's two different things. It's like, it's Bregman, irreplaceable. No matter if you don't sign him, everyone else,
like John Singleton, replaceable.
The upgrade you're looking for, though, in the outfield is a la a Michael Brantley, isn't it? And Brantley, that deal was not a huge deal.
It was 15.
But that's what you're looking for, and that's what you're going to have to pay to upgrade in free agency. Your farm system blows. It's just Bryce Matthews.
National champions.
It does. Have that, at least.
They win games. Didn't know that sucks.
Yeah, didn't hear no damn bell. Didn't read no baseball prospectus.
Forgot that winning games doesn't matter.
But I mean that's the issue right now is that like it's going to be hard for you to upgrade in a lot of these spots. And by the way, you're probably losing Alex Bregman. Otherwise, why would he tweet at 7:12 p.m. last night? Thank you, Houston. Period.
Does feel like goodbye.
Are they going into Seattle Mariners just try to win 54% of your games mode?
They better not be.
I mean, but they can't pay anyone. Or if they do pay someone, they're going to stink.
I mean, okay.
That is what has just gotten laid out here. That their farm system stinks, they don't have money, and you're not going to sign anyone.
But that's why I don't think you can't just stay status quo. Like, you have to do something. You either have to put all of your money in and spend more money, or you have to kind of tear it down a little bit. You can't just be status quo. You can't just let Bregman walk and then Tucker walk and then Fromber walk. And then what do you have? You have a bad baseball team.
You have a run that's over.
No prospects.
Yeah, no. Your congratulations to the Texas Rangers for winning the AL West next
year. Your window has slammed shut. It's still creaked open. It's still open. And there's a way to where you can win the division next year and then you can really open this thing back up.
I mean, that's what you're banking on right now is you own the AL West, or at least you think you do, and you just got to get in there and hopefully you get hot again like you did a couple years ago.
I was going to say that there is a little bit of we still have the mindset of 2017, 2018, 2019 of winning over 100 games every year. And that's not what this team is. That's not what this team has been for the last 2 years.
Nope.
They have not been that guy, that team. They are the St. Louis Cardinals who win 88 games, win the National League Central, and try to get hot.
Yeah.
You're the San Francisco Giants from the 2010s.
You're 2015 mode, except for you're old. I mean, if you beat the Royals in game four, they won the World Series back in 2015. This is now where you are.
I also think a little bit of this is why you need to re-sign Alex Bregman to keep the Astros postseason mojo going, because at a certain point, it's the ship of Theseus idea of how many different boards can you switch off the ship before it's not the same ship anymore?
What?
And you haven't heard that?
No.
It's just the idea of, so there's a ship of Theseus, and the idea is that when a board breaks, they replace that board with a new board. Okay. And then eventually you do that for every single board that makes up the ship.
Oh.
Is it now the same ship?
Hmm. It's a good question.
That's basically what the Astros have done with the 2017 Houston Astros core is they let Springer walk. They let, you know, that Correa plank, that's now Jeremy Peña. And the
wooden boats.
The Springer one, I guess we can be nice and call that Kyle Tucker. And
they
not
replace the Peña plank, though, while we're at it?
Hey.
Bryce Matthews,
shortstop, opening day next year. Give it to me. Bregman at third, Matthews at short.
Oh, God. We're already talking about Bregman. Like, he's going, God,
this sucks.
This just sucks. This sucks. Bregman, you know what it does? It sucks.
Bregman, second base of the Boston Red Sox. Remember when they said that he would play second base?
I still think that that meant like he's telling the Red Sox that he's coming to Boston. Or telling the Orioles that he'll play second base. Or something like that.
What, he wants to get swept again?
Who was the third baseman from the Tigers yesterday?
Hmm?
Is that who?
Randolph Wuxton.
I don't know.
I'm not going to remember another Tigers
I knew the lineup of the Detroit Tigers and a couple of their pitchers for 36 hours.
I think that's the one that would hurt the most for Astros fans, is to watch the Astros lose 2-0 to the Tigers and then to see Alex be the opening day third baseman for the Detroit Tigers next year with Justin Verlander.
Pull a Kevin Durant?
And AJ Hinch.
Pulls a Kevin Durant?
Come on, man.
That's what Ken Rosenthal is suggesting. The Tigers.
I know the Tigers in the past have spent money like that, but you saw the graphic where their postseason roster made less money than Josh Hader this year.
Oh, that's so sad.
You didn't see that?
I did.
Yeah,
it's just so sad.
Again, growing up, the Tigers, they were paying everybody. Now, all of a sudden, they just stop paying people? Maybe they start paying more former Astros. Detroit Tigers next year, with what you laid out, Joe, they would have more 2017 Astros than the Houston Astros do.
I don't know what to say. I really don't. In response to that, imagine that's where he ends up. It's an embarrassing look if he leaves you for Detroit.
Who just beat you? We can save this for a later day. Least embarrassing places that Bregman could go. Least offensive list.
At least.
And most offensive list.
Yeah, I think at least in a most offensive list. Good.
Like a top three, most offensive.
Yeah.
Most offensive. It would suck if he went to the Yankees. I would not like that.
I think the list is so easy. Yankees, Tigers, Mariners.
Oh, Mariners.
That's my list.
Ew.
That's the most offensive list.
Ew, that would hurt.
I get, yeah.
They won't do it, though.
I was going to say, the Mariners is so unrealistic that I'd swap them out for Red Sox on my personal list. But that's just because I don't think the Mariners would.
And I don't think – I don't have the Dodgers on there just because they spend so much money already. I just can't imagine them signing another $30 million player, but you never know.
I don't think they get him and Soto.
Yeah. No, Soto's going to be a Met. That's how Bregman ends up with the Yankees.
I hope we are therapeutic for others, but I'm not going to lie. The more this show has gone on, the more sad I'm getting.
The good news is
it's almost over.
Yeah, and I was going to say, not going to be talking that much Astros going forward. We have our weeknights in October back. That's big.
It's true.
That's big.
Hopefully the Texans don't make us sad.
I think Maxion is starting pretty soon.
Yeah, but see, Maxion's not even the same anymore because they're starting to get poached. Aren't they? Isn't NIU going to the Pac-12 or something like that?
I mean, they're basically a team or a school about every 2 days. They deny the Mountain West. That's who is now looking for a team. But Texas State was like, no thanks, Mountain West. We're good in the Sun Belt. And I think that's what NIU did too.
Someone just texted in asking, why didn't Alex Bregman tweet that at 7:13 p.m.?
Because he's already gone.
Because he's staying, and it was just a random time. to say thank you.
I mean, that is such a
maybe he
plausible
you.
Deniability. Like, I just said thank you. I didn't say goodbye. I said thank you.
It's such a goodbye, dude.
Or did he say?
The Astros said thank you, fans, at the end of the game. Are they moving? Are they moving to Sacramento with the A's?
Maybe it was just premature tweeting. I mean, Alex meant to send it at 7:13, and he just
brain fart,
hit tweet,
yeah.
Or post, and 7:12. Couldn't delete it then, because it looks like
if he deleted it, that'd be hilarious.
That would be awesome. I kind of hope he does that.
If I was famous, I would just tweet, like, just nonsense, just tweet things, and then a minute later delete them just to see, like, how popular am I that enough people will screenshot this that it'll become a big deal.
All I know is, like, right now what I'm hoping for the most is, like, one day we just open up Twitter, X, and all I see is a poorly done graphic design job of putting Alex Bregman's face on top of Leonardo DiCaprio from the Houston Astros tour.
I'm not leaving!
Yeah. That's all I hope one day we get that.
That's all we can really hope for at this point. But, guys, what a year it's been.
Baseball.
I'm sorry. This
anything can happen.
This show has really made me sad. I don't think I've ever done sad radio. No one died.
Well, Joe and I kept trying to come up with, like, well, you know, you trade this guy, you but move some things around, and every time Joe's like, or Paul's like, yeah, but you just get a guy who sucks.
It's okay, we'll get you back.
I don't know.
Trading guys who suck for more guys who suck?
I think I need a good date or something, you know?
We need a Texans win on Sunday.
I don't even feel good about that.
No, but that's what we need. We need it.
I think we desperately need it.
We got the Dynamo.
They should break out the H-Town blue jerseys for them.
They are. The Texans are on Sunday. Yeah, okay.
Football town.
Thank you very much, everybody, who's been along with us as we talk about the Houston Astros
this year. Wait, are you leaving? Why are you thanking people?
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like my body is leaving.
You should tweet out, thank you, ESPN 97.
That would be pretty funny. At 7:12.
Are we thinking Gary?
Anyway, it's been a tough show. Hopefully, for some people, this is therapeutic. We will turn the page tomorrow. Big thanks to our texters, our callers, our YouTubers, and our Twitchers. For Sean Mapes, for Joe George, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful rest of your Thursday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
Quality proteins aren't just for special occasions. With Omaha Steaks, you get mouth-watering proteins delivered right to your door, individually packaged and portioned, so a great dinner is just minutes away. From Taco Tuesday to a weekend feast, taste the Omaha Steaks difference. Start getting flavorful proteins delivered today. Visit omahasteaks.com and get $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.